monitor, but we'll see how it goes. Okay, now it's just have to push the right buttons, right? Okay, this is KAZU FM in Pacific Grove, California. It's Mae Brussel, and it's broadcast number 568, October 25th, 1982. I've never been in a broadcasting room that had an open window to the street, and there's a storm outside tonight, and you hear the wind blowing, and it sounds a little bit like pre-Halloween. Although you'll get this tape and radio broadcast long after Halloween is over. But if you hear the wind blowing and the noise outside, it's because the window does not close. There's wires going out through the window, and I'm more aware of the noise, it seems, this evening because of the wind blowing. Before I begin the program, I want to put the disclaimer on that I've been forgetting to do lately. I'm totally responsible for the information and material from the broadcast, World Watchers International. The station is not responsible for anything I say. This disclaimer will be repeated every week. My references and materials that I have on the broadcast are brought with me to this station. The sources are public domain, such as Wall Street Journal, Journal New York Times, or books that I have in my own library that I don't bring in, various 10, 20, 30 newspapers around the country and columnists. And as of yet, I have not had a lawsuit, but I would, James McCord's the only one who ever wanted to do it, and he dropped it fast when I went on the air and welcomed it and wanted to go into court with him. That doesn't mean that you won't get burned someday by one of these people. I'm using a lot of names, of course, but the main thing is that what I'm trying to share with you is the truth, and you can put the pieces together yourself. I'm not here to damage any particular person, public official, or representatives of the government. Their record stands for them, themselves, and it's all in the history books, or it will be written in the history books, and you'll see it all. If you don't believe it now, you'll see it come true if you hang in there for a few more years or a few more weeks and listen to the broadcast. I will be up in Santa Cruz at the Loudoun Nelson Community Center. That's from 7 to 10 o'clock on November the 5th. I'm going to meet there. That's 301 Center Street. It's going to be a fundraising for the station, and we're going to take donations from people instead of having a set price so that everyone can afford to be there and share the information. Now, I think the people that are rearranging our world and our events are very cruel to come down so quickly with so much news. It's the most frustrating week I really had in assembling the amount of material that I really would like to share with you in 1 hour. We hardly got into the Roberta Calvi, Banco Ambrosiano links to Panama and to the Bahamas, the Luxembourg, and the Liechtenstein banks, etc., before the PLO massacre that was taking place simultaneously. And I hope tonight have time to do some more on Menachem Begin and his fascist training and his role in Israel, Palestine, and became Israel, and why there's so many problems there today. I promise that every week, but I hope we get to it. And then, of course, I'm on part four of Grace Kelly and haven't even scratched much except the few scandals, but I have to go briefly pass over the Tylenol. I'll just mention it tonight because it's elections next week, and for those of you that listen locally, it's very important. But for a national level, it's very important for you to get these tapes, because if Pete Wilson doesn't win against Governor Brown in the Senate, he will have another important appointment, and he is the heir apparent to Richard Nixon and Ronald Reagan, and his name will be around for a long, long time. So you can pull out these tapes and listen to them if he isn't your next senator. I have to get into those. Briefly, what I started last week was what happens a year ago, October 25th, 1981. Quickly, it was a lot of talk of World War III. Major General Robert Schweitzer from the National Security Council was complaining about seeds of pacifism that might be sweeping over the world. Caspar Weinberger was warning to the pacifists, you know, to watch yourselves and don't get too iffy or bossy. This is our Secretary of Defense. Ronald Reagan was speaking about limited war that got the mad in Europe. The Senate was moving to send arms to Chile again, and now they've also agreed in the past few weeks to send arms and atomic technology to Argentina. This last week, a year ago, this week, Ronald Reagan revived the intelligence board with members from the early Warren Commission like John Connolly, Leon Jaworski, Edward Bennett Williams, the attorney for John Hinckley, and for 20th Century Fox, Admiral Moore. Ross Perot, he got the intelligence board going again. And then a year ago, this time was just the time when the Frank Turple story was linking to the West Coast to Stanford Technology. And it was just in October that I contacted Pete Carey of the San Jose Mercury. And he made the connections to Otto von Bolschwing and smoked out Helene von Damm and the International Galen Network of Spies. These stories were just breaking in the news a year ago, and his story came out at Thanksgiving in November. 1 month later, the Palo Alto firms were linked. Also, a year ago, I was talking about the slaying of a Stanford student that was linked to David Berkowitz in New York City, and another student was murdered there yesterday at Stanford campus. Many of you don't remember way back, it was the time of Watergate, when a man who allegedly killed one of the people at the Stanford campus, one of the girls, was at my home. And later, a woman who works in the CIA called and apologized for bringing him to my house. Another student was murdered. Again, I mentioned last week how people are put on a leash. They do a previous crime, and they get off, and then they're used for a purpose. So this girl that was murdered on the campus yesterday, the fellow that they're looking for, Mr. Amos, he was wanted for rape, he was wanted for assault and for kidnapping, never indicted on these things, never served a day, was charged with them and got off of all of them and killed this woman, young student at Stanford campus. And I was talking about the links of New York City to Stanford just a year ago, so now we have another Stanford death. And out of the Palo Alto law offices, I was talking about a wealthy attorney, Kevin King, who was stalking Caroline Kennedy, and the network of the West Coast to the assassination teams coming out of the Palo Alto area. That was 1 year ago tonight. Again, when I give names on the air, I'm going to spell them carefully because these are typed up in transcriptions and sent to various people, newspaper people, people studying history. Charles Spears does this in Texas for very serious researchers to get the transcripts of these tapes, and people taking these tapes and listening to them, if the name isn't on the sheet that goes with the tape, or even if it is, if I think of it, if there's a difficult name, I'll try to remember to spell it for you as I put it on the air. Last week, I was talking about Attorney General William French Smith saying that he was going to go after the narcotics problems and then blowing the case down in Miami. That was on the news last week. Many newspapers picked that up this week, how the drug dealers got away as many as 26 because he talked. The Houston Post had an article, U.S. agents fault fault Smith. That's the way they put it in the headlines. They didn't spell out Attorney General Smith except in the article. U.S. agents fault Smith on the timing of the Operation Swordfish announcement, 26 suspects have fled to Colombia. Now, Colombia is very big in the DeLorean story, and I'm going to rush down with you some of the factors and the names that have appeared so far in just 6 days in the DeLorean story. It is accumulation of from Watergate that spilled over and all the other major intricate webs that I've discussed on this program. I'm sure he's touched about 30 of them already, 30 bases, and it's going to be a very big story. In fact, he lost his virginity when he hired Joseph Ball of the Warren Commission, the attorney for the CIA, to represent him. Joseph Ball represented John Ehrlichman at the time of Watergate for charges of the Dr. Lewis Fielding burglary to get Daniel Ellsberg's papers. And that involved the Beverly Hills Police, the Los Angeles Police, the Squad 19, the team that Lewis Tackwood worked with. Well, DeLorean has brought in Joseph Ball, so you know that this has to be one of the biggie stories of our time. Another article in the Washington Post, the dope agents avoided the net set by the boss. And this tells how the dope dealers were able to leave the Colombian dope dealers because hours before the arrest, William French Smith announced at a press conference what was happening, and they left the country. Another story out of Miami Herald, prosecutors are abandoning the TikToks. These are tapes involving 28 people, wiretaps. Judge Coogan threw out 1,000 hours of tapes. This would link to the anti-Castro Cubans, Frank Turple, George Coca-Cola, Edwin Wilson, Theodore Shackley, the whole assassination team who are into international drug traffic and were caught in another roundup in Miami, but because of the controversial material and the names on it, the judge has thrown out the 1,000 hours of tapes because it involves ex-CIA agents who plotted against Fidel Castro, and those are the same people involved in using Kennedy. So in order to get them on a light sentence or get them off, instead of blowing the case before they were arrested, they just don't use the evidence to lock them up. The San Jose Mercury had a story, UPI, Attorney General is criticized for tip-off on drug arrest. Now, the reason I bring this up is that we're going into the DeLorean story where he was getting heroin from Thailand, and Mr. French Smith is running over there to Thailand and other major drug bases in a hurry, and Colombia cocaine, and there are many convoluted scandals going on in Colombia right now. The attorney general was criticized for tipping them off, but he evidently had to make sure that these guys fled so that the link maybe from Colombia to DeLorean and what's going on there wouldn't be sufficiently made by inquiring newspaper people or in the courts. The press conference was at 8:30 a.m. The arrest started at 11 a.m., and I'm sure they had their passport in their pocket and tickets, and they don't just listen to an attorney general's press conference that I don't know if it was even on the air except in Washington, but they had direct communication and 26 fled. And again, in the DeLorean case, William French Smith has done the same thing. The U.S. attorney general, and really should be prosecuted, one has stepped down, I understand. He was following the connections of the major cocaine dealers in the Hollywood area with their links to Thailand, to Colombia, to the Cayman Islands, the Bahamas, to Hollywood, to the air bases in Kern County and Camarillo and San Ynez, you know, where Reagan flies in and takes his helicopter to the ranch and so forth. They blew the whistle by not guarding the pilots. They knew the pilots were traveling with this drug money. Mr. Hetrick of the DeLorean case was being watched for 2 years. And the minute he was arrested in Hollywood last Monday, the agents, the pilots working for him, described as like from 7 to 14 pilots fled the country and they emptied out 28 bank accounts. Now, how would the attorney general know how many pilots and how many bank accounts? If you're counting bank accounts, you have to go to this many banks for safe deposit vaults and accounts. And if there's 28 of them, certainly the federal government could, on a $60 million arrest of heroin and cocaine that's going to be sold on the streets of Los Angeles, couldn't he get 28 men to be waiting at 28 banks around the country in the southern area or wherever it was, just sitting there so they couldn't pull the money out? They did that with Roberta Calvi, with Licio Gelli. Calvi's dead, you know, it's so hard to remember some of these drug dealers that are getting away. When Licio Gelli came back and wanted hundreds of millions from a Swiss bank, somebody was there to say, oh, Mr. Gelli, you're under arrest. Okay, why didn't they have people at these 28 banks? And how do they know how many pilots? They must have names if they know the number. You can't just make it up in your head. So the banks are empty. The vaults are emptied. It's identical to Watergate, and it's the Watergate people. That's what Maurice Stans did at the committee to reelect the president. They began shredding paper, destroying evidence, and L. Patrick Gray of the FBI, the acting director, and they took away the files of E. Howard Hunt and his revolver and the street maps of Washington for a military coup. And everything was emptied out that was necessary. The tapes were erased. Some were thrown away. The shredder of who gave money to the GOP. So in the DeLorean arrest, and as I said, first they wanted to say that he was just a conscientious man who wanted to give labor to some poor Irish people that needed employment, and so he made a mistaken judgment. It's going to be bigger than that, as I say, with Joseph Ball on the case. But the point is that who got away, thanks to William French Smith in one case, thanks to him in the other case, and the Operation TikTok. So all this bravado about wanting to get drug dealers, they may arrest some, but they're letting others out. And as I said before, it's selective arrest, or it is something that is forced, looking for the missing millions out of the many banks that I've talked about over and over again. Now, to update a few stories that I have to get into before I go, I want to do a lot on Pete Wilson of San Diego. There was a story by Liz Smith that was sent to me from a person subscribing to the tapes in New York, New York Daily News, a world washer. This is what the article was in the New York Daily News. The National Law Review recently carried a blind item about something that soon will splat all over the front pages. Every publication in California, every publication has assigned investigative reporters to the fascinating matter of that recent suicide of attorney Norman Gary, who killed himself on the 47th birthday at the height of a successful career. Gary was a lawyer for producer Danny Melnick, who recently departed 20th Century Fox. Watch for this story. It could be bigger than Columbia Studio, not the Columbia cocaine, or maybe they're the same. It could be bigger than Columbia and David Beagleman. In other words, more indecent exposure. And that's the title of the book on Columbia. But this death of this particular attorney, and I remind you again what Mr. Stanfield said when he left 20th Century Fox about how bloody and dangerous it was and what was going on there. Now, another story that came in the San Jose Mercury out of the Washington Post, and I called our Monterey Herald editor this week, didn't get an answer, but left a message with the secretary. How come we're not getting any stories on 20th Century Fox when they own Pebble Beach, a good hunk of Monterey or Seaside and land around here, and our locals aren't getting it unless they listen to KAZU on Monday night? Washington Post, Patrick Tyler. Oil scheme alleged, half owner of 20th Century Fox is under investigation. Now, last week, I mentioned that they're under investigation for a $1 million scandal that involved this particular attorney and Mr. Melnick and the people working in 20th Century Fox, some overpaying, and some, I suggested it could be even more than $1 million, that District Attorney Vandekamp in Los Angeles had an entertainment squad investigating that. Now, this is bigger than that. Mark Rich, who is half owner of 20th Century Fox, this is from the Washington Post, and one of the largest crude oil traders in the country, is under investigation by a grand jury in New York. So they're investigated in New York and in Los Angeles simultaneously. This is to decide whether he improperly diverted $23 million of crude oil profits in 1980 and 81 to a U.S. company in a Swiss affiliate. Now, Mr. DeLorean is being investigated for diverting money from his car company to a Swiss bank in Geneva. And they both involve the Cayman Islands, so also and other, the Antilles down in that area, these wonderful tax shelters down in these islands. The investigation was started earlier this year in the U.S. Attorney's Office. Central to the investigation is the alleged conspiracy between Mr. Rich and two Texas crude oil traders, David Ratliff and John Trolin, who at the time were operating West Texas Marketing Corporation of Abilene. Both men have pleaded guilty, got 10-month prison sentences, and now they are talking about the fact that they controlled the price of crude oil. Mr. Rich and his company, Mark Rich and Company International Limit, sold volumes of allegedly price-controlled crude to the West Texas company. Later, the crude was unregulated, doubled in price. The profits went to the Swiss company, and to cover up those profits, Rich's Swiss affiliate and the Texas company allegedly faked additional transactions that lost an amount of money equal to the profits. Now, Mr. DeLorean is being charged with manipulating papers in his offices, too. You see, he had gotten throughout, way back and forth to make some comparisons, so it gets a little clear about the DeLorean case. And then go back to 20th Century Fox. He got $30 million loan from Bank of America, $140 million from Great Britain, about $80 million from Ireland, a lot of money. Now, this was some of this being diverted to Swiss banks. He's crying bankruptcy and willing to sell half the corporation to the mafia, where people have donated, including Johnny Carson and a lot of other people. So the manipulating the papers happened in both cases, and this Rich has been charged with manipulating faked the transactions. They controlled this oil during the peak of the 1979 crude oil, the crisis. Rich and his affiliates controlled up to 150,000 barrels a day of Nigerian crude oil alone. Remember the Wells Fargo story when Mr. Smith, Harold Smith, said they were going to use my bank in Beverly Hills and bring in 50,000 a day or a week from Nigeria, and it had to do with the Japanese mafia? Okay, I use that quotation a lot because here's Nigerian oil just at the time that Harold Smith had the account in 1970, 1980 in Beverly Hills. They use a black man's account, and then he goes, and that involved the CIA too. Rich, 48, runs his international commodities training from New York City, from Fifth Avenue. He has a business he built. It is a business after leaving the Philip Brothers, now Philip Corporation. He built this up. Rich is a senior trader, and he quit in a salary dispute in the 1973 Mideast oil embargo with Philip and opened his own company. Rich's name did not surface publicly when Denver oil man Marvin Davis negotiated to buy 20th Century Fox, but it turned out that Rich was owner 50% and that Rich's Netherlands Antilles affiliate, Richco, was half owner of TCE Holdings, Marvin Davis' company that purchased Fox. One reason I've been so interested in this particular web, because again, as soon as Marvin Davis bought it, he put Henry Kissinger on the board. There was Madame Chenault, Grace Kelly had been on the board, Gerald Ford of the Warren Commission, you name it, a who's who that I love to repeat. And I did know that Mr. Rich, Mark Rich, owned 50% of it. And when Marvin Davis bought the studio, nobody knew it. And then all of a sudden he surfaces. It would be like Mr. DeLorean, he was selling 50% of a car company to the mafia, to organized crime, to cocaine heroin dealers who are pushing $60 million in one shot in the city of Los Angeles, okay? And then he has a corporation that is 50% mafia. So here's a man involved with a silent owner who doesn't surface until after the studio is bought. Instead of paying the alleged illegal profits directly to Rich's firm, the Texas firm sent the money overseas and disguised the action and created paper losses through a series of foreign crude transactions. And that, again, is one of my favorite subjects, is the paper losses. Caesar's Palace lost $23 million. This corporation lost $23 million. They make the stockholders take it. They declare bankruptcy, and it's sitting over in a Swiss bank, and then they start all over again. Mr. Rich's attorney, I'll give you three guesses, is Edward Bennett Williams. I keep repeating the cast of characters. He's the attorney for the John Hinckley family, for Robert Vesco, for Richard Helms, John Connolly, Lucky Luciano, every who's who of the mob, the CIA, and the Nazis. He's the attorney. Edward Bennett Williams is the attorney, of course, for 20th Century Fox and for Mark Rich in this case. I mentioned before the story of the New York Times, the president leaves 20th Century Fox. Joseph Labonte left there, I think, 2 days after Grace Kelly died, he left. And another New York Times story, October the 11th, if you want to look it up, David Melnick, oh, that name is M-E-L-N-I-C-K. The producer of 20th Century Fox is a story of the dark side, deep wrongdoings. It's in the New York Times. There's a question. The Los Angeles County Coroner ruled Mr. Gary's death was a suicide, though he left no note behind. And this, I won't go into the details of this New York Times article. I think you get the gist of what's going on there. Another social column out of the New York Daily News that was sent to me, a party that Mr. Marvin Davis gave in Denver, Colorado. Kenny Rogers was there at the annual carousel ball. This is Marvin Davis, gave it for the Children's Diabetes Foundation. There's Merv Griffin, Henry Kissinger, President and Mrs. Gerald Ford, Brooke Shields, Gregory Peck, Beverly Sills, Dinah Shore, Cary Grant. Just to let you know who the company is, because their names will be surfacing lots of times later. You can get, it's on in the book stands, Indecent Exposure. That is a story written by a man about Columbia Studios, but the main people involved in that studio story, written by Dave McClintock, M small c, C-L-I-N-T-I-C-K, David McClintock, the true story of Hollywood and Wall Street. They splintered off to MGM and 20th Century Fox. Fox is involved in lawsuits now, and there are many scandals and stories that are breaking open. The Herald Examiner in Los Angeles had a story. 20th Century Fox partner reported under probe for oil dealings, and then it goes into about the same story from the Washington Post, the scandals at 20th Century Fox. All this is going on at the time of the demise of Grace Kelly. Now, as far as raising the oil prices, or why is Henry Kissinger on the board and why is Gerald Ford on the board, let me remind you, at the time that Mr. Rich was making his money on that oil embargo in 1979, Jack Anderson had a story of how that oil price was manipulated on the international market, how the gas shortage was created to raise the profits. He had a long story on that. And again, the stories of the death of King Faisal. The earlier 1973-74 raise of prizes, March 29th, 1975. You can look up in your newspapers the stories of the murder of King Faisal, F-A-I-S-A-L, in Saudi Arabia, done for the purpose of raising oil prices that would go into the banks of Chase Manhattan. And Henry Kissinger's on the board of Chase Manhattan. These people work with Kissinger and Gerald Ford and various corporations that have foreknowledge of the prices jumping, and then they take the profit and put it in the Swiss banks and then use it to purchase other things and parlay a $1 million purchase of, say, cocaine into a street value of 24 and then up to 60 million if you just start with a certain amount. Another article Jack Anderson had, June the 12th, 1978, that's going way back in my files, Kissinger blamed for oil crisis, oil price scandal. Now, Kissinger is on the board of Fox. He's there with Mr. Rich and Marvin Davis. They put him on. He was in charge of the oil going up. They made their profits. They buy half of the studio, put the money of the profits over in Switzerland so it doesn't go into our tax basket. I think you get the idea of what I'm trying to say about the manipulation, the use of Gerry Ford. I keep calling him Henry Ford. There's no difference, not much, but Gerry Ford and people like Henry Kissinger, who make the decisions for the world and work closely with the National Security Council, the CIA, the Defense Department, make strategic moves and create crisis. Then they're on the board of directors of banks and corporations. They're literally a who's who of corporate heads today. And then the profits are used to buy up other businesses, raise the price of movies, give you bad movies, control authors to wipe out actors or lawyers or judges. There are goon squads available to do that if anyone catches on. So that is the story of 20th Century, and we'll do more, I'm sure, every week on that. Also, from the same person who sent me the New York Daily News story, one of these stories was a story about Helene Von Dahm that I had on the air last year, and it is not only rumored at a wedding I went to, it's now public knowledge. Top femme leaving Ron. Hint, Von Dahm will be envoy to Austria. And it's a story, high administration sources say Helene Von Dahm, who lives in Secaucus, New Jersey, S-E-C-A-U-C-U-S, and her wealthy husband, Byron Leeds. Now get this, New Jersey, because Raymond Donovan had the strongest supporter in Helene Von Dahm. Christian Von Dahm was down at La Paz in Colombia, where the cocaine problem was coming, the debts to Bank of America. He works for Bank of America. Bank of America had loaned Mr. DeLorean $30 million and wanted their money. Colombia, cocaine dealing down in Colombia. DeLorean had a farm in New Jersey where he sequestered cars so it looked like they were being sold on the market. Von Dahm is from, her husband is from New Jersey. Raymond Donovan is from New Jersey. DeLorean has a place in New Jersey. They all touch bases in Colombia. Again, I think you won't understand this entire intricate network, but I think you understand that their paths are crossing a little too often. She was born and raised in Austria, the New York Daily News said, where she first met Leeds. Now, she came to this country marrying a person in the army. Then she married Christian Von Dahm and kept his name. Then she married Byron Leeds, but she knew Leeds in Austria when she was brought over here by counterintelligence. I wonder what he was doing in the army, if he worked under Henry Kissinger or Fritz Kramer. She met him in Austria. He was an American Army officer stationed in Vienna. Very suspicious of this one. Leeds went back to New Jersey. He married someone else. Years later, he met Von Dahm again. She was a Republican fundraiser for Reagan. And what better way than to get it out of the till of these sequestered monies in these international banks. Incidentally, that Otto von Bolschwing that she was associated with out here in Sacramento in California, he was the financial investor for the Krupps, the arms of Krupps. Okay. And he would take, von Bolschwing would take the property and the jewels, as I said before, to Swiss banks in Nazi Germany, away from the Netherlands and Romania and so forth. She's a fundraiser, raising money for Ronald Reagan. Who knows what Swiss banks and money come to Ronald Reagan for TV advertising? I will never know. Von Dam came back and met, divorced her husband, Christian Von Dam. He divorced his wife. And now she and Mr. Leeds enjoy a weekend marriage. They see each other on the weekends. He runs a huge publishing company in New Jersey. That's an interesting one, a huge publishing company in New Jersey. And she wants, if she's the ambassador, he will go back to Vienna with her where they met when he was an army officer. And again, to remind you, she was brought over here by William Clark, who was in counterintelligence in Europe, one of the most powerful men in Washington. So that's the Von Dam story, and I will update it naturally.